Sophie, do you know how my life is a comical joke?
Yes.
Well, on this week's episode of Why Is My Life So Cursed, I found out I was allergic to a certain type of ink. That I just developed that allergy, by the way. I'd got this type of ink before. Developed an allergy whilst getting a knee tattoo.
Oh, wait, tattoo ink? I thought you meant a pen.
No, as in, like, I'm allergic to yellow ink. And I found that out through getting a yellow ink knee tattoo.
No!
So, yeah, healing has been fun. Lots of scabs and bleeding. Would have preferred like a little daisy on my arm to find out that I've got an ink allergy, but oh well.
Hey, look, at least it wasn't a Pikachu.
Oh my god, no. Imagine solid yellow ink. I've had yellow ink before. My body just kind of woke up and was like, I don't like this anymore. But decided to do that while I was getting an ink tattoo.
Do you know what? I developed some kind of, I don't know if it's an allergy, to white ink. And only the one that was used, I don't know what brand was used, on my arm tattoo, on my half sleeve. So I didn't have a reaction at the time. But now, whenever I go, it's not in UK sun, but whenever I go to like really hot countries, my skin, my white ink breaks out in little bumps and becomes like a little ridge, like on the back of a lizard. And I just get like bumps all the way down and swollen white lines.
Oh,
how weird is that?
God.
Get so tattoos, they said.
Lizard. Conspiracy theory. No, I'm getting.
Someone tell David Icke. Hello and welcome to Wednesdays We Wear Black with me, Sophie Kay, and Yasmin Subban.
Hello, we're both really sick.
Yeah, I am digging deep. I am digging deep right now. We both caught whatever's going around. But today is going to be a super fun episode because we see all of these podcasts talking about like dilemmas that are happening on Reddit. So we thought, let's do a bit of a Reddit deep dive and see if we can solve some problems, because since we are so highly qualified in mental health, in helping others, in giving phenomenally terrible advice.
Since I just got my degree as a doctor and can give advice, no one should ever take our advice. This is going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Okay, Dr. Subban, we are going to be... going to be going through some of the Reddit stories. If you're listening at home as well, or wherever you are, make sure you send your opinion in to us, because we're genuinely curious about what your opinion is on these dilemmas.
Sophie, you start.
I found loads of Reddit dilemmas. I'm going to bring them to you and get your opinion on them. Okay.
Cracking my knuckles, getting ready. Right. I'm ready. I'm ready to solve all the problems in the world. You're welcome.
Since we opened up this episode talking about tattoos.
Okay.
Let's have a read of this.
Right.
Okay. My girlfriend is 22 and I'm 26. We've been together for 3 years and our relationship is great. Besides one issue. She has 5 tattoos before she met me, all on her rib cage. I find women with tattoos look very trashy.
Okay.
First of all, he's gone wrong here.
Yeah.
But he said, I didn't say anything because they're not visible unless we're at the beach. Lately, she's been showing me various tattoos from Pinterest and Instagram, and I haven't been very responsive to the things she shows me. She asked me what my issue was, and I told her my stance on tattoos. She rolled her eyes and said that the ones on her ribs weren't a problem, but now that she wants more, I'm being a crybaby.
Oh my God.
I ignored her rantings because I figured she wasn't getting more. We have more than enough money for them, but she hasn't got one in 3 years, so I figured she wouldn't. I was wrong. You are wrong.
You're wrong.
Even if someone has like a tiny circle, like just a dot on them, they're going to get more. Like tattoos, you don't just get one.
You don't just get one. It's kind of like having a baby. Most people have a baby and they're like, oh, the pain wasn't that bad, and then have another one. But
yeah, but then some people are like, I definitely don't want one.
And some people are the same with tattoos. If anything, tattoos are like children.
Yeah. And if you don't want children, don't get with someone who already has children. Like,
and if you don't want to date someone with tattoos, don't date somebody who has tattoos.
Already, we're fixing it. So we sat together over a coffee and her dad started talking about wanting to see the tattoos. He shot me the dirtiest look ever, knowing I'd told him. Oh no, she shot me the dirtiest look. So basically this guy went and told her dad.
Oh my God, no.
So, and then it all kicks off. She says, she started to cry, asked why I even dated her. I had such an issue with tattoos. And her dad tried to tell her that she needed to calm down, but she stormed off and told me she'd Venmoed me the money for an Uber home, but that she was going home alone. I don't know what to do. I know for sure in 20 years she'll regret her tattoos, okay, but she's making me feel like I've overstepped. Am I the arsehole?
Yes! Yes! Oh, hey guys, I judged someone. I started dating someone because they had... No, let me start again. Hey guys, I started dating someone and then didn't like their interests, but kept dating them even though I knew I didn't like their interests. And then when they didn't want to change me, I told their parents something that they hadn't told them themselves and created a really uncomfortable scenario. Am I a crazy arsehole? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
what is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? Do you know what? When I was on dating apps, I used to have to, I'd ask outright. Like, I didn't show pictures with my tattoos because my tattoos are extreme. So I would ask, I'd be like, hey, how do you feel about tattoos? And have to do it that way and like ease people into the conversation. But some people, instantly, you tell them you've got tattoos, deleted off dating apps.
Really?
Deleted.
I just posted, like, when I was on dating apps, I'm not anymore because I'm wifed. I have to slide that in there. When I was on dating apps, I used to just post photos with my tattoos. I'm very much like, I put everything out there, and if you want it, slay. If you don't want it, that's your loss. That's your loss.
Yeah. It's hard. But imagine dating someone for, what was that, 3 years?
3 years!
3 years, and then all of a sudden you're going to start telling me after 3 years that you don't like something that is permanently on my body.
That's so crazy. Imagine thinking you can change someone in 3 years. Oh my God. Oh God. Well.
And from the sounds of it, it was like butterflies and things on her ribcage.
Oh yeah, like an infinity symbol. Like, come on.
I literally have death on one of my arms. And on the other arm, I have a fairy ripping her heart out. So I'm an acquired taste.
I have a noose in the shape of a heart. I have a scythe. I have a whole death arm, actually. I have a scythe. I have a coffin with peonies. I have a dead cat. I have a poison bottle.
This is why we could never date normies.
God, no. Normies never date normies. See me in the club and they're like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? Why did you get that on your sleeve? I'm like, I fucking love it. Death is sick as fuck. What the fuck do you mean? Loser.
So let's have another Reddit story. Let's have a look at this. We've sold that one. Yes, sir, you are the arsehole.
Womp womp.
Womp 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 womp.
Okay. Like a little womp womp. Womp womp.
Okay. This is an interesting one, and I think this will divide people. I don't know. My wife is 30, and I'm 32. We were invited to my friend's wedding. He's a fairly close friend, and we've seen each other about 2 or 3 times a year since we were 10. Sweet.
Okay. So him and his wife were invited to a wedding from his family friend.
Yeah, for a long term, like probably a school friend, right?
Okay.
And he said he got married to his longtime girlfriend, who we've met a handful of times. He's now a lawyer and his wife is in med school and their parents are all dentists and pharmacists and doctors, etc. To call this wedding extravagant is like calling the Mona Lisa a nice drawing. We added up the things we knew the cost of and got to $100,000 and there were lots of things.
Yeah, but they're doctors and lawyers.
Yes, they've got money.
Girl, they've got money. That sounds like a you problem.
He said, so if they told me they spent $500,000, I would believe you. Okay. There were about 400 people at the event. Okay, so we haven't got to the actual problem yet, Yasmin.
Oh my God. Okay.
So they hired a band as well as 2 DJs. And in front of the large sound setup were 5 iPads where you could request music. So my wife and I go and start browsing the music.
Okay.
We found the song Bloodletting by Burn the Priest.
Oh my God. Yes, you're the arsehole. I hope that helps. Go on. Tell me the rest of this godforsaken story.
And they said, I figured if it was in there, then there must be some other metal fans, or at the very least that the DJ sees the requests and makes decisions. Honestly, I didn't think about it much past, oh, cool, man, and smash the screen. It was an open bar, obviously. So about half an hour later, all these posh people are at the wedding, right? They're having a lovely time, all these rich people. And guess what song comes on? Now, if you haven't heard this song, it's a very intense song. And so this guy's like, my wife and I go, fuck yeah. And we run onto the dance floor and we're headbanging and body checking my wife. I look up to see that we're the only ones on the dance floor and the bride is yelling at the DJ.
Oh my God, yeah.
Imagine all these, like, all your posh families there. And then, okay.
You are the asshole. Hope that helps.
Then it didn't take long for everyone to figure it out. She fucking lost it. She said, we ruined her wedding. We're terrible people. Something about Satan at a godly event. I wish I could remember more of what was said because it was amazing. She storms off and the bridesmaids follow. And I find my friend, the groom, and try and smooth things over. He's not mad at all. He thought it was hilarious and was about to grab his groomsmen and join us, but his wife stopped him.
Boo.
I apologise for causing what was probably the first fight as a married couple and asked if he could use his lawyer skills to help me get back on his wife's good side. And he said, not even he's that good a lawyer. So they had a bit of a joke. And he said, the day after the wedding, I start feeling bad. With the alcohol cloud now gone, I feel like maybe I was the asshole for picking such an intense song at a wedding.
Listen, hear me out. If I could have it my way, I'd play Knock Loose at every wedding. But if it's not my wedding, people might not like that song. I feel like if you're a guest at a wedding, you kind of got to know your place. Don't tread over the line, you know? Just like enjoy the free food, enjoy the free bar, live the vida loca. But I feel like you should have known going into that it was not going to end well. Like, come on, scan the room, see if there's anybody else there. do a little bit of, you know, reflection. But to say that ruined the wedding day is an over-exaggeration from the wife, for sure.
I think it's hilarious. It's a bit of fun.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it's the kind of thing, okay, I wouldn't do it now that I'm a bit older, but it's the kind of thing I definitely would have done in my 20s if I went
to thing that I would do now, but I know I'm an arsehole.
Like, imagine going to someone's wedding and it's like, I get weirded out by events that are too posh and too much money spent on them.
It gives uncanny valley. I'm like, everyone's a bit too nice.
Weddings freak me out, Yasmin. Weddings freak me out.
I think I know why that is, but go on.
Oh, thank you for taking over that for my next week's therapy session. And by that, I meant getting my tattoo. No, I feel like people take weddings way too seriously.
Yeah.
Way too, like, it isn't just a celebration. I know it's a celebration for you and your love, but it's also a celebration with your friends. So let them express themselves. I mean, it wasn't my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack. Do you know what I mean?
Right. You know, there could have been worse songs. There could have been worse songs.
Let Me Smell Your Dick is my current favourite. Which I think has been doing the rounds on TikTok recently.
I love that song.
Yeah. Okay, so are we going to say arsehole or, yeah?
I'm going to say arsehole because you knew what you were doing when you did it. Sometimes okay. You've got to accept that you are the arsehole, but it's still funny. Like, it's funny. It's on a principle, it's funny, but you are the arsehole, but it's funny.
This is a story that's actually come up before on our podcast, I think, but for a different reason. And I find it really interesting that this is also happening to someone on the other side of the globe. Okay. So this one says, we will have to have a backstory for this to make sense. My daughter, who was 7 at the time, and me decided to go to a metal concert.
Slay.
Arch Enemy.
That's cute. I love that.
She had those giant headphones on that construction workers use. And she was on my shoulders for most of the concert. So I made sure she was safe for the entire thing.
That's so cute. I love when, like, moms and dads bring their kids to, like, metal concerts. Because metal concerts are really wholesome and it's cool to see kids there.
And I wrote my number on her arm just in case.
Okay, so do you know what? It's like, that's
great parenting.
Actually quite smart. That's really smart. I wouldn't have thought that. come here, honey, let me get a Sharpie, let me just write my address on here in case somebody snatches you. That's very smart. Not you branding your kid. Anyway.
You know, she's not saying I tattooed it on there. I just wrote it on there with a pen.
That's smart.
She had a blast, and it was a night we really treasure. My mum expressed her doubts, as she knows how brutal some metal shows can be. But I went anyway. I have some photos from the concert up on my wall. It was a fun night, and I wanted to remember it. Now, to the main incident. I had some people over, and they spotted the photos. They asked me what they were of, and I explained it. Well, they thought I was a bad mother for taking a seven-year-old girl to a metal concert, and it really ripped into me. I've definitely seen posts where kids are at concerts and not well liked, and now I'm overthinking everything.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person.
Be that person.
Because I don't want to overanalyze pop and stuff. But Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, even Miley Cyrus all swear in their songs, all have complicated themes, adult themes about breakups and
more nudity
times, and nudity.
More nudity on stage, like there's a lot more sexualization.
Yeah. And I feel like if you're going to take your kid to Taylor Swift, I'm sure you can take them to a metal show because you'd be surprised. But like taking them to something like Disturbed, actually quite wholesome. Also, a lot of metalheads are a bit older, so a lot of them are parents themselves.
Thank you, Yasmin. Fact delivered. There we go. Bish,
and also,
bash,
metal shows are cheaper. Like, okay, take your kid to go see Taylor Swift. Slay. Do whatever they're interested in. You'll be paying thousands of pounds for seats and then merch. And then, like, what? Like, but a metal show is, like, what, £20 plus, like, a £30 shirt?
When was the last time you haven't been to a metal show in a long time, Yasmin? They're £40 now.
Don't.
You haven't paid okay, in a while.
Pounds.
That's the perks of being a journalist. Yasmin's like, I haven't paid. I've never paid for a concert.
You journalist scum. You schlub.
Yeah, people are so mean. But I think they also didn't like the fact that there was a kid might annoy other people at a gig, but I don't feel annoyed by kids at gigs because I can't hear them. And so I also think they're just really cool because I'm like, wow, a kid at a gig that likes his music.
People think that kids at gigs are going to be like annoying like they are in supermarkets or in public places where they scream and they throw tantrums. But because there's something so big and spectacular happening on stage that they've never really seen before because they've lived such a short life that this is like the first experience they're having. They're so immersed by that. They are the least annoying people there. Drunk dudes and people in the pit are more annoying than kids at shows. And usually the kids are stood somewhere safe because you wouldn't have your kid right next to you in the pit. You would have the kid in the back on the shoulders. No, I think that's quite wholesome. I love seeing kids at shows.
So down with all, like, what kind of friends were coming around to your house to start telling you how to parent?
I know. And then also, do you know what this reminds me of? Do you know when parents are like, I take my kid to Claire's to get their ears pierced because piercing and tattoo shops are so dirty and filthy and this is scary and I don't want to set that example for my kid. Claire's is so much safer, but it's actually the opposite. Claire's used piercing guns and don't have as sanitary of a piercing space as a piercing studio because a piercing studio and a tattoo studio are dedicated to that one thing, so they have to keep the entire place sanitary, and a lot of them, especially in the UK, have to follow local council rules and are constantly inspected and are penalised a lot more than a store that happens to have a piercing corner where anybody can just run up, grab anything. It's right next to like hair accessories and like bags and stuff, so people can, I could just go up and lick a Claire's station. I could not go up and lick a piercing station in a piercing shop. I would get kicked out. No one would know in Claire's.
Facts. Do you know what? Don't get sued by Claire's. You're gonna get sued.
I would rather a 49-year-old man who's had like 20 years of experience piercing, who's got like loads of burly tattoos, right, and is super hench. I'd rather he pierce my niece's ears than a 16-year-old part-time worker who isn't being paid enough to give a shit. Okay, I'd rather that.
It took me learning later in life to learn that it's actually less painful as well when you get it done with a needle in a piercing studio. It's less painful than when you get it done with a gun, because when I was like 15, 16, I went and got my ears done in Claire's with a gun, and they're wonky. My ear piercing is wonky, and it was so painful.
Do you want to hear something insane? This is gonna gross you out. This is gonna gross all of you out. So I got my ears pierced in Claire's when I was 7. The piercing back got stuck inside of my ear and is stuck inside of my ear to this day. I can feel it. It's right here. it's like here, the actual metal piercing back is stuck on the inside of my ear. And I actually don't know what to do. I feel like I should probably go to someone and be like, I need to get this removed, but I don't know
how.
Are
you fucking serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. You can feel it.
You have to have that cut out. How did it not grow out of you?
I don't know. It's like in the actual, like there's a layer of tissue around it. It started becoming a part of my ear.
You're like one of those people that get shot and they still have to have like part of the bullet because it's too close to their hearts. They can't have it operated. You should probably get that cut out, Yasmin. That can't be sanitary.
Maybe.
So maybe that's our advice that we need to ask everyone listening. Should Yasmin have the ear back of a tattoo, of a piercing cut out of their ear?
It's been in there since I was 7, so like over 10 years now.
Like, so you feel like it's a friend now?
I feel like it's part of the ecosystem of my body, and if I get it cut out, I'm losing a part of me. Not an ear abortion. Anyway.
Okay. Okay, I've got a tough one for you right now, Yasmin.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm honestly ready.
For context, my brother has spent his entire life borderline worshipping old school rock bands like the Beatles, Queen, the Stones, Led Zeppelin, and pop like Elvis and David Bowie.
Okay. Cool.
Which is kind of weird for a kid of his age, but who am I to judge?
Do you know, there's a lot of young people who are like super into the classics only. It's kind of weird, but like I respect it, but it's kind of weird.
I think it's kind of cool. Now he wants to drop out of high school and try to start a band with his friends. I'll tell you, the kid is damn good guitar player, but wanting to drop out of school for something like this is borderline stupid, not to mention that rock bands rarely make it big nowadays. His dad seems to support his decision. I told him everything I mentioned in this post and he's still insisting on it and has been ignoring me for 2 days since I told him how I felt. I'm just trying to be realistic here.
So...
Here we go. Should you drop out of high school to play guitar in a band?
I'm about to say something that's so un-rock and roll because the rock and roll side of me is like, do it, rock and roll, do whatever, don't be a slave to capitalism, break the system. But in the 80s, dropping out of school and being in a band, you would probably find more success because the industry wasn't so saturated. Because when you did start a band, oftentimes if you were actually good, you could be famous. But now it's so saturated. It's such a, not to crush any musician's dreams, but like I've seen people do it for like 10 plus years and never make it and really do it and be really good. And like I've seen, there's so many famous bands right now who are in multiple bands before they made it. Like it's stay in school, kids, get a job and be a musician on the side. Most of the musicians I know still worked side gigs while they were being put on the front cover of magazines, while they were touring on like Warped Tour, Download Festival, Slam Dunk, Louder Than Life, all the big festivals in the US and the UK. Like some of my best friends who are musicians who are in some very, very big bands still work side gigs because the music industry does not pay enough. It is not a sustainable industry to be in.
You know when you said the rock and roll side of me is like, yeah, follow dreams, do this. The only people who ever say that, right? I've realized this. The older I've gotten, this is like a trick with society that I've learned. The people that say that and do that have rich parents to support them. And they're not actually doing it. And their parents are paying for their lifestyle. They're paying for them to be travel influencers the next year or whatever the hell they want to chase. Their parents are paying for it and funding it. And then there's people like me who don't come from a rich family. And I think, oh, that's the way to do it. No, I can't do those things. And so unless you have rich parents.
You and me are like the only working class, like people who came from working class backgrounds I know in the music industry.
There are very few.
I can count on my hands the amount of people I know who came from like non-rich families who work in the music industry. One of them being you, the other one being me. It's fucking crazy. It's actually crazy.
I think the key is, right, and people always, should we do an episode? Quick question for everyone at home. Should we do an episode on how to work in the music industry, different roles and blah, 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 blah?
Work in the music industry. So tired. Okay, hot take of the century. I'm so fucking tired of seeing people make how to work in the music industry videos, blog posts, whatever, And it's so unrealistic. No one talks to you about how to survive during unpaid internships. No one talks to you about how to survive if you don't live in London and you can't travel to London because that's where the music industry is. And even though I have sustainably now, like, set myself outside of London, it took
all big cities, whichever country,
years just to establish myself when it could have taken me a year. Like, there's so many things in the music industry that no one tells you. No one tells you you can't post photos of your photo pass because it's like a security danger.
But then you get blacklisted if you do.
I know. No one tells you that you have to be nice to literally everyone because you have no idea who's going to make it and who's not. No one tells you that, like, yeah, bands are cool, but they are not the most important people you need to be nice to. PR and managers are the people that you need to kiss ass to. Fuck the bands. Like, managers and PR are the people that you need to be nice to. No one tells you that it doesn't pay well and the rates that it pays.
No one tells you it doesn't pay well. That is the biggest fact. That is it.
No one tells you that, like, your peers get paid more than you and won't. Like, there's just so much. I will happily do an episode about what it's like working in the music industry. Hell, the worst thing ever. I would rather be honest, though, because people are like, oh, it's so fun, get into the music industry. No, I actively tell people, don't get into the music industry unless you're ready to hate your life. I will definitely do an episode on that. I could sit here for hours and talk about this, but
we're already planning the next. I love this.
Uh-huh. Do you want to give me the next Reddit dilemma?
The next one. Okay. I was at a Queens of the Stone Age concert recently, and the venue has a floor area and a stadium seating area in the back where I was. About 90% of the people were standing, but a small strip in front of me and behind me were not. A couple of songs in, I was feeling the music and wanted to stand. Also, I'm 6'2", and there wasn't much leg room, so my legs were cramping. I stood and the people behind me got pissed and said I was being inconsiderate. They kept yelling at me, and instead of standing themselves, I scooted over as far as I could, but wasn't able to get completely out of the way. But again, nearly everyone else in the entire venue was standing, and these were able-bodied people who just preferred to sit. There wasn't anywhere else I could go to stand that wouldn't obscure their views. Am I the asshole?
I think we need to put this to bed because I don't know what people have skewered opinions on this. If you're going to a concert and you've got seated tickets, you still stand, right?
Depends how old you are, mate. It depends how old you are. Sometimes I just want a good sit down. Sometimes I just want to watch the gig and sit down and enjoy a drink.
But if someone in front of me is stood up, I'm not going to be like, how dare you? Because it's a concert. Like,
I go, oh, for fuck's sake, and then lift myself out of the chair like an old woman.
I feel like it's the concert as well. Like, if you're going to see a really popular, like a Bring Me the Horizon, of course people are going to stand. But if I'm going to see, like, a classic symphony orchestra, I'm sat and I'm not getting up.
Do you know what? I must say, when I went to see Sleep Token, every time I've seen Sleep Token, I have also seen that there were seated tickets and everyone stayed seated because it's a lot more mellow. There was no moshing. There was no, like, there was a bit, but it was a lot more mellow, or like City in Colour or something a bit slower. So, but Queens of the Stone Age, you've got to air guitar and rock out, right? So...
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is going to cause an argument. Should you stand if you've bought seated tickets? Because people do. I've stood for certain artists. Like when I saw SZA, I stood. When I saw Bring Me the Horizon, I stood. Even though I've bought seated tickets, I stood because everyone else was stood up.
I once got tickets in seated because that's all that was left. I wanted to be standing. And I was with my friends and we were like, yeah, we were shouting and singing. We were singing along. And I got told to shush.
Ew, I hate that. I hate when people shush you. But then, do you know what? Okay, I have had a revelation recently. I have. So I'm very much in the camp of let people do what they want and let people enjoy things and stop being mean, right? But I do now understand when someone is talking during a set and it's not them singing along, it's not them enjoying the concert, it's them fucking yapping away in the back. Oh my god, I saw a band called Uninvited the other day and they were great, they were amazing, and they were the support band for another artist that was playing that night, and the entire set the people behind me were yappy, and in all the videos I've got you can hear it, and I hate it, and I wish I just told them to shut the fuck up. I didn't. I was like, I'm going to let people enjoy things. It's not my gig. It's everyone's gig. People can enjoy it how they want. But just go to the back. Go to the bar.
Yeah, go to the back. Go to the bar. Yeah, that.
Fuck off.
I was about to say there's nothing wrong with talking at gigs because sometimes I catch up with friends at gigs.
But go to the back. Why are you in the crowd?
Yeah.
Why go to the bar. Go to the merch table. Go to the toilets. Like, there's other places to catch up and have your little girly pop chat. Not between the support acts, man. They're called support acts for a reason. I gotta support my bitches.
So you're saying that because we know what it feels like. We've done DJ sets where people just
talked. I'll never get over, I'm sorry, but the first time we did 2000 Trees, we did a DJ set, and it was great. I love 2000 Trees. They're amazing. One of our favorite festivals to DJ. But because it's a silent disco and you can see when the colors change, so we were on the red channel and you could tune into us by clicking the different buttons and it would show on the headphones if they were listening to the red channel. And you could tell when we played a song that people didn't like because it was just a sea
it was
of
a
red
sea.
Headphones going green. And I was like, "Whoa!"
It is. Do you know what? The rejection, Yasmin. It is like rejection on the next level. I've never experienced rejection.
I felt like I was being booed. I felt like I was having tomatoes thrown at me.
But I also felt like a little bit of a gatekeeper because sometimes it would be a really fucking good song, like a classic good song. And I'd be like, fuck you guys for not picking this song.
I know. I know.
Why didn't you pick this song? This song is good.
It's just,
You'd go over to listen to what they were listening to and you're like, fuck you guys.
I know. I'd be changing the channels like, what is so much better than us? And it would be the same song we played like 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
Sick of it. Like,
you'd be like, fuck this shit. Yeah, silent discos are savage for the DJ. Okay, so let's do
They're humbling.
They're so humbling. One more Reddit question that came up that I thought we could fix. What is the male equivalent of a big titty goth girlfriend?
I'm going to kill myself. Shut up. Oh,
so,
God.
So the top answer was a rich vampire.
No.
And then somebody was saying a really intelligent himbo.
No. No.
What is it? Is there an equivalent?
So I'm talking about heterosexual couples here because if we were to talk about lesbians, oh God. All women are great. I love all women. All lesbians are great, okay? There's no this lesbian needs to be with this lesbian. All lesbians deserve love. But if we're talking about heterosexual couples, a big titty goth girl is typically dating either they always date the soft dudes, whether it's like a guy with a beard, long hair, looks super scary and tough, and then is actually just like a soft little angel. Or they date the little lanky dudes who look like they haven't slept in 40 years, who wear like the fisherman beanies and have the cuffed pants and paint their nails. And it's for every big titty goth girl, there's a soft unslept emo boy.
So, but it can also be metalheads, because I think the metalheads can have the long hair and so I just think it's men who overthink, like soft boys who overthink everything.
Soft boys who paint their nails.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. I hate the phrase big titty goth girl. Stop it.
Do you? Why? Tell me.
I think because people assume that big titty goth girls are just these scary, mean women who just want to be degraded. And it's like, actually, they're just, hear me out, women are human beings. International Women's Day, Women's History Month, God bless us all. I've just ended sexism. You're all welcome. Women are people too.
Breaking news.
Women are... I just feel like men now use that terminology to sexualize women and degrade women. And it's like, it used to be an endearing term, and it still can be an endearing term if used by women and femmes. But I feel like...
Or alternative people.
Men who have nothing, like the most normie, ugliest, basic ass, mean, would have bullied me in high school, horrible men, will be like, I look a big titty goth girl. And it's like, you would cry if I showed you how I did my eyeliner. I'm good.
Hear me out, though. Part of me is kind of here for it. Because this is the trend that I've seen within rock, what ends up happening. So you have the rock fans, right? And as they get older, or like as they, I've seen this mainly in the industry, like especially with people in bands and journalists and people working in the industry, they then start dating normies because they want to achieve what they didn't achieve in high school.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say which rock stars, but you get a lot of rock stars who just date normal people, right? And then the women are left covered in tattoos, looking alternative and terrifying the normie men. So the normie women have no one left. So maybe the big titty goth girlfriend is a good thing because it opens up the choice for tattooed women, maybe, to be more accepted in society rather than... Because, like, tattoos are cool on guys, right? But they're not seen as cool on women.
I think we should all just be lesbians because I'm telling you now, the lesbians love everyone.
Okay, well, is that your words of wisdom for this week?
That is my words of wisdom. If you can be a lesbian.
My words of wisdom are, if you turn to Reddit to ask, am I the arsehole?
You're probably the arsehole.
You probably are, unless it's about taking your kid to a gig, and then you're definitely not.
If you want to follow us, you can follow us at We Wear Black Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Yasmin Simonex on everything.
And to follow me, it's at I Am Sophie K.
Bye.
Bye. You were listening to On Wednesdays We Wear Black. Please rate and subscribe so that we can keep doing what we do. Special thanks goes out to the Nova Twins for the badass music and Wargasm for the killer screams. See you next week.